Right. So I'm originally from Austria, actually. I was born in a rather small town, I'd say, in the south of Austria, in the province of Carinthia, which literally lies on the border of Slovenia and Italy. And there I grew up. I did high school there, and then I went to study to Graz, which is the second largest city in Austria. And there basically I studied 10, 11 years. I did two different studies. My bachelor was in molecular biology, then a master's in microbiology, and eventually a PhD in structural biology. And from there I met my now wife and eventually decided to move to Australia because she was Australian. She was living in Brisbane, and I couldn't really be apart from her for much longer. So that's why I'm here now.
Of course. Now, you are one of the people testing the vaccine at Queensland University, and your vaccination was on the 13th of July. Take us through that. What happened on that day?
So that's correct. I was dosed as one of the two first participants in the UQ vaccine study. And what happened on that day, we went in very early, did a few tests, breath tests to determine alcohol levels because you wouldn't be able to participate in the study or especially dosing if you had been drinking before. Then a few vital parameters were taken just to make sure that everything is safe. We got a cannula inserted in our arms to take some blood samples, basically to establish some kind of a baseline before we actually got the vaccine. And at I think 10 a.m. we got dosed, and then we had to stay in the study center for another 2 hours just to make sure that we didn't really show any adverse reactions to the vaccine.
How
And
nervous were you?
I wasn't actually that nervous, to be honest. I've been following the development of the so-called ClEMP technology, which is literally the basis of the vaccine, for years. So when I started my first job in Australia, I was working, and I'm still working for the University of Queensland in a lab, and this lab was literally next to the lab of Professor Paul Young, who at that time was developing the ClEMP technology. And I was originally interested in this, and later followed how that developed. And when this group got the call to develop a coronavirus vaccine, I was, of course, even more interested, and I followed through how these people came up with the actual vaccine, how this was tested, the results that they got from the animal studies. So I knew quite a lot of, maybe we can say, insider information about this vaccine, and I had the feeling, and I knew it from the results that they already got, that this vaccine is probably quite safe. So in the end, I wasn't really, really nervous about getting inoculated with this specific vaccine.
But still, I mean, it's an experimental vaccine, and many people, in fact, most would probably say you are a human guinea pig. What did your parents think of all of this?
My mom was initially not very excited about her son trying an experimental vaccine, but I think over the time I could quite convince her that from my point of view, and probably also from a scientific point of view, this specific vaccine candidate is considered to be quite safe. We wouldn't really expect any adverse events, and I think eventually she just trusted my expertise in this situation, and also being a scientist probably helped. And I think in the end she was actually quite proud of me when she realized that everything went to plan and I didn't really have any kind of adverse reaction to the vaccination itself. So I think in the end she was proud, initially maybe a little bit more anxious than I would have been, but I
Yeah.
think that's understandable.
And now soon it will be 2 weeks since the vaccination. So you say there are absolutely no side effects so far.
I haven't experienced any side effects so far. I didn't have any headaches, or I didn't have any joint pains, which is sometimes observed when people get vaccinated. I didn't even have any pain in my upper arm muscle where the vaccine gets injected, which is quite in contrast to what I personally experienced with, for example, the flu vaccine, where you have maybe some kind of a bit of a tense upper arm for 1 or 2 days. But I can only speak for myself, so I don't really know what the other participants experienced after the 2 weeks that now have passed.
And how confident does it make you that this will be the vaccine that can save not only Australia, but maybe the world?
Oh, that's really hard to answer because, I mean, this is the clinical phase one trial, right? So we don't really know a lot about how well this vaccine will protect people from the coronavirus. I think for now, everything looks actually quite good. My colleagues were actually quite surprised by the potency of this vaccine in animals. I probably also should say that the phase one trial is more to establish a proper dose that is then later used, and it's more to establish like a safety profile rather than if this vaccine is really, really good to protect people. On the other hand, there, and I think there were quite a few reports in the news during the last few days where there's, for example, a vaccine from Oxford that already reached phase two or maybe already completed phase two. So it's really hard to say how successful the Australian world will be or how widespread it will then be used at this point in time.
But in an ideal world, when will this vaccine, the one from University of Queensland, be ready?
In an ideal world, because of this quite extraordinary situation that we are currently in, most of these vaccines are in a way fast track. That means as soon as the safety profile is established in the phase one trial, they will already start, and they have already, I think, started recruiting people for the phase two trial. That doesn't mean it's fast-tracked in terms of not being safe or so, but usually things that happen sequentially in normal times are happening all at the same time now. So there have been talks to, for example, the company CSL to, if this vaccine is successful, that they can right away start producing up to 100 million doses, yeah, basically right away. So as soon as we know that the vaccine is safe, they will start producing it. And I think at the timeline, I would say maybe early, mid-2021, if everything goes to plan.
And you will not have to be vaccinated? I mean, this, if everything goes right, you will now be immune?
That's really hard to say, because part of every clinical trial is that certain participants will receive the actual medication or actual vaccine, and some participants will only receive a placebo to see how potent a certain agent really is. And since this is a double-blinded study, I don't know, and not even the people at the study center or the people at UQ that came up with this vaccine know who gets the placebo and who gets the actual vaccine. So, yes, I will definitely have to get another vaccine when this is all done. What I have to say is that as long as I'm part of this trial, I'm actually not allowed to receive another vaccine. I mean, I'm allowed to receive one, but then I wouldn't be able to participate further in this trial.
Yeah. And did I hear you right? 50% of the 120 candidates are getting the placebo or got the placebo?
Not exactly. So I think in this study, it's, I think, usually one in four or one in five, so 20 to 25% of the study population will receive the placebo. The reason why for me it's a 50-50 chance is because I was one of the first people to get vaccinated or receive the placebo. But this so-called sentinel group, because there are only two participants in there, one participant will get the actual vaccine and one participant will receive the placebo. So for me and my study colleague, it was a bit different than for the rest of the study population.
Got you. And finally, to close this interview, of course, everyone wants to know, why are you doing this? I mean, are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for humanity, for your wife, for your parents?
No, I think I have a 50-50 motivation, I would say. I mean, of course, I'm doing this so that we can all get out of this as fast as possible. I have seen how severely some people are affected financially and also personally by this pandemic, and I just want to help us to get out of this as fast as possible. On the other hand, my whole family lives in Austria, and I haven't seen them for a year now, and I expect not to see them for probably another year. So a personal motivation, I would say, just to be able to travel internationally again and to see my mom, my father, and the rest of my family.
Christian Ferscher, thank you very much for this interview.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.